I'm Salika, I'm an addict. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm grateful to be here and to be clean. I hate doing chairs, and even more if there are these many people, but I never say no to a chair either. And I'm very grateful to this fellowship. Everything. I believe that the fact that I'm even alive today is thanks to NA. I never thought I would be able to go beyond my 20th birthday, or, you know, I hit rock bottom very early. I was 14 when I came to NA. The first time I was coming out of hospital, I was trying to commit suicide every other week. I was miserable, and that's something that happened even before I used. That this just came with me. It came with the package as I was born, you know. And for me, you know, when I heard today, we needed something different. We just couldn't take life as it was. This was true for me since the beginning. And I always was attracted as a child to the idea of being a junkie. I thought they understood life. You know, this is how you go through life. So I was 9 years old, actually, when I started getting high and things like this. And for me, it was, wow, I found the solution to this horrible life. You know, I don't have to feel it. I don't have to experience it. I can just be dead inside and keep walking, you know, the earth. And everything is for the best, you know. But the truth is that it worked for a while, and it stopped working very quickly for me. Because, as I said, by 14 I was locked up, you know. And it was very tricky. Coming to NA when you're 14 years old, I'm talking about Paris, year 2002 maybe, I don't know. Yeah, 2001. There were not these many girls 14 years old. So, I mean, I think the youngest person after me was 25 or something. So if my disease of addiction tells me that I'm different, this was just the best, you know. I had all the excuses for being different, you know. And I just thought that I could manage my using differently, because not using was not an option. So I tried everything. I tried using certain products, found out that even if I use the lightest products there is on the market, I just kill myself with them. You know, I just will use them until I cannot stand up and until my whole life is fucked up again. And I just go back to the same point, you know, no matter how long it takes, I will go back to that same point. And, you know, I went to a meeting one day. I was 16 years old. I was living down in Barcelona, and there was this girl who had relapsed, and I was using myself. I mean, I was going to meetings, picking up key rings, although I was high, you know, and stuff like that. And there was this girl who had relapsed, and she said, what I understood about my using, she was talking about herself, is that I can have a beer or a joint once a week, but what happens with me is that from the moment I have it till the next moment I have it, all I do is think about this. And this is what happens to me. You know, I will just, my life will stop until that next hit. And the prison there is in living like this, it's hell. What's the point of living, you know? I managed to get clean when I was 18 years old. I always say it, I don't know how it happened, because I think I just wanted to die, and I was ready to die, and I just made a phone call, said, look, I'm checking out, but just in case it works this time, take me to a meeting, my 18th birthday, and I've been clean since that, and it's nearly been 11 years now, so it's quite amazing. And for me, I'm really the kind of person who, I never believed that I was even worthy of this, you know, I just thought that there are certain kinds of people and there are other kinds of people, and I belong to that kind of people that just gets nowhere, does nothing, you know, has just shit thrown at them constantly, and life is horrible, and if I unfortunately keep living, this will be my life, you know? So dying was always an amazing option. And the reality is that since I've been clean, it's erased everything in my head about myself. It's changed me completely. It brought me opportunities that I never thought would be possible. Things I used to dream of when I was a child are happening right now. And things that I thought, I mean, that, it's not even that I thought, it's that even the normal people who lived with me back then, they don't have access to these things. And all these things, it's recovery for me. Recovery brought these things to me. It's been tricky. But I've been clean all along. I've experienced health issues in recovery. I got married, got divorced, met someone else, had children. What was I thinking? And, you know, just lived in many different countries through many different adversities. And I've been clean through that. And I'm grateful for that, because I know that the moment I pick up, I lose everything. My recovery hasn't been perfect. I'm still the bad kid that sits in the corner, you know, at the end of the classroom. And even when I go to a meeting, I try to sit next to the door so I can make a quick escape if I need to. And sometimes I'm willing to work the steps, sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I let the life I have today take over. But something that I've done constantly for nearly the last 11 years is not use. And I've never done anything in my life constantly. That's the only thing I've done, just not using. And I'm terrified of the idea. When I hear people, you know, who say, I was 18 years clean and I relapsed. And it terrifies me because I see this world so far away from me. And I remember it as hell. And I think, how could it possibly happen again? How could I be in there again? And how do I not end up there? For me today, just for today, because I don't know what's tomorrow, you know, made of. But today, I go to meetings. I have a sponsor. I work my steps. I'm honest. I take chances. You know, I heard someone in a meeting once saying, if you don't take chances, there's no point in being in recovery. You know, because you're going to live in your old same flat with your old same friends and just, you know, because you're too scared to go out and experience life and there's just no point, you know, because my using was like this. I was indoors, just locked. And, you know, yesterday for my job, I had a flying session. Yeah, they put a harness around me and they dropped me from a ceiling. And I'm terrified of heights, you know, and I could have said, I'm not doing this job. Fuck that shit, you know. And I actually thought, I'm so limited. I limit myself so much. I'm my own worst enemy, you know. And I believe that by controlling things, by trying to control things, because I can't even control them for real, you know, but by trying to control things, I prevent bad stuff from happening. And it's just not true. You know, the bad stuff keeps happening anyway, even though I'm controlling. But, you know, I can ask my higher power to remove my fear. You know, I can show up for life. I can do what I have to do to be current. I'm in a very tricky situation where the father of my children is not a very responsible man, and he kind of cornered me without realizing it himself into, I have to be both mom and dad. We're not together anymore. He just doesn't do anything. He doesn't even work or anything. And it put me in a situation where I had to accept a job here in London and leave my family back in Spain. And it's horrible. It's emotionally horrible. But I do know that this is what I have to do today. Because I don't have another choice right now. And I'm doing it, and I'm doing my best. And again, you know, so long as I have this book under my arm, We can go anywhere, you know? And recently I had health issues that were talked about. And I woke up, you know, I went out of the hospital and I was just too much in shock to just digest it. Next morning I woke up, I thought, okay, I'm dying in 4 weeks or something. And the whole day was horrible. I was crying, I was completely hysterical. I was, you know, making my testament and everything. And the next morning I woke up and I thought, it's all right, it's all right. You know, whatever it is, it's all right. I can live through that or not, but it's all right, you know? And what I realized is that it's not the problem in itself for me. You know, it's not health, it's not divorce, it's not this, it's not money, it's the way I deal with this. Because I always have the choice to say, well, actually, it's all right. You know, this is how it is, and if I'm being, you know, a mathematician about it, you know, this is the way it is. It's not how I feel that's going to change it. This is just the way it is, you know? And the best way for me to deal with that is actually to accept it. You know, this is the way it is. So now that this is the way it is, what do we do now? You know, what do we do? And I don't know, I live much more comfortably since I'm in recovery. I'm most of the time peaceful. And I'm grateful. I don't have a perfect life, but I have everything I need to be well. And I realize that a lot of the things I desire is another part of my addiction. But not addiction as I'm an addict, as in I'm an addict. Addiction as in I'm a human being and I'm always trying to get something else. And particularly being an addict, I always try to fill myself with, you know, desires and wants. And the truth is that if I stop right here, right now in this room with you, even though my kids are not here, even though it's imperfect, it's actually really all right. It's actually really all right. And it really, for me, just bringing everything down to here and now makes most things all right. I have this fear of flying, and I actually thought one day, when I'm in an airplane, I'm afraid of the airplane crashing, but if I'm able to stay in the moment, until I hit the floor, everything's all right, you know? So I could just focus on this, and then I think, well, actually, then it makes pretty much everything all right, you know? So, yeah. New life, new me, very grateful. I'm shaking. I'm so happy this is over. Thank you very much.